Turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 1 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And we're going to be reading verses 6 through 10. We're going to have a good time this morning as we go through God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. I'm going to actually back up to verse number 1 to get us back in the routine here because it's been a couple weeks since we've been here. Verse number 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Again, before we go in the word of prayer, I'm going to ask you to pray silently that God would speak to your heart and pull some truths out from the word of God that maybe you need today. So I'm going to pray. Lord, we thank you again for this day that you've given us. I thank you for Open Door Baptist Church, the people that are here, their faithfulness that they have to your house. Lord, I just thank you so much for them. I thank you for their love, for their encouragement. But God, now as we go open your word and we go through it this morning, I pray that you begin to speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you challenge us once again. In an area, Lord, I believe we lack. Lord, I know I lack this in my life. But God, I pray that as we go through boldness today, that we would be able to have more of it as we leave here this morning. And why do we need boldness? Because we got to give your gospel out to this world that needs it. And now is not the time for us to be timid in these areas. Lord, I love you this morning because you first loved me. You showed me what love is. You showed me what grace and mercy is. And I thank you so much. We ask you these things in your name. Amen. You good? You glad to be here this morning? Yes. All right, let's go ahead and go through this. A few weeks ago, we left off with Timothy being surrounded with great influences while he was younger. And I'm going to say to this morning, it's important for every single one of us in here, no matter our age, to be an influence in the life of an individual. I get kind of skeptical sometimes of people, just like anybody else. Chris and I were at the grocery store last night, and we ran into a friend of hers that actually a neighbor of ours down the street, and we've known them for quite some time. For some reason, this individual decided to go a different direction in life, and that is to go the opposite way of liking somebody that they shouldn't be liking, the opposite sex. What I appreciate about my wife so much is this. She doesn't judge people. I, on the other hand, when I come across people like this, I automatically begin to stand back just a little bit. And I creep back even further and further as she's talking. But I should not be doing those things because of this. We need to be an influence on the life of people. No matter what their gender is, no matter what side they want to take on what sex they like or don't like, we, as God's people, need to be an influence in those lives. And I will say this, they need Jesus Christ. And how are they going to hear if we're not going to take the time to be an influence? I sat there last night. She doesn't know this. I was a little bit annoyed. I was wanting to get home really quick. I've been gone most of the day, and we stopped at the farmer's market, and we got some good old peaches last night, and we got some strawberries once again, and we got home, and I said, Chris, we forgot to get some cream from the store. And so we went back to the store to get the cream for the peaches and all those things. And so we made our purchase, and he was there, and she began to talk to him. I'm thinking to myself, come on, Chris, let's hurry it up. I got peaches and cream waiting for me at home. All I got to do is cut them up and add the sugar, and they're going to be in my belly really soon. But here's what took place. I saw a tremendous relationship that has been formed. Her taking the time to invest into this young man's life for this reason, to be able to show him love that he needs by a child of God. You and I need to be an influence in the lives of other people. Timothy, think about where Timothy would have been in his life if his grandmother and his mother and even Paul himself didn't take the time to influence him, take the time to encourage him along the way. I have two former youth leaders in here, Dallas and Q. Dallas and Q have been a tremendous influence in my life. They have encouraged me along the way. They have seen me make my mistakes. They've known me from a child. They've seen where I'm at today. But what I appreciate about these men, and there's many men in here, is the influence that they've been to me. And one of the greatest things that sticks out to me about these two individuals is faithfulness. Faithfulness. What an influence to have on a young person by continuing to be faithful to the Lord. So, just imagine where Timothy would have been today if no one took the time to take that time and time away from the family to be an encouragement. But sometimes we shy away from great responsibilities such as this, forgetting that younger people need to have positive role models in their lives. We have a church today that's filled with young people. You might laugh at this, but I'm still a young person. And we need to take the time to let them know that they are loved, that they are important, and that they are needed. And to be an encouragement, to influence them, to encourage them along life, to help mold their lives. So we have that awesome responsibility. Every young person, I believe, is worth investing our time into. And I hope you would agree with that statement as well. And since that is a great responsibility, we should not want to shrug that responsibility off onto somebody else. And I say that for this reason. We don't know what type of influence the world can have on somebody else. So why not offer them some godly encouragement? Why not offer them some godly influence? Why not offer them some godly insight on how they should be living their life? Amen? Timothy was a very gifted young man, but there is something that he lacked in his life, and that was this. He lacked boldness. Paul stated in verse number 7, says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." But in the ministry, you will face many obstacles in your life that you cannot shy away from that will require you to be bold. And we're not born with boldness. It's something that you got to acquire in life. And sometimes it comes about through certain situations that you go through that allow you to have this. But why did Timothy lack courage that he needed at the time? We tend to forget that Timothy was a young preacher. Being a young man in the ministry can be very intimidating. And I'm going to give you some reasons that why it can be very intimidating. One, it can be intimidating because the flock that he has taken over has already been a flock that has been cared for by another older pastor, meaning the flock is mature. And so when a young pastor or a young minister comes out upon a stage, a lot of the older people think, what's this young person going to be able to show me? What's this young person going to be able to teach me? And so he was timid in his ministry. There are so many things in the ministry that the average layperson doesn't think about. Just imagine with me being in your early 20s, and I know that might be way far back for some people, or maybe being in your early 30s, having to give counsel to a married couple who have probably been married as long as they have been alive. Think about that. Would that not cause a young man that is in the ministry to kind of be timid about those things? But yet, because of his timidness, when you're faced with those situations, you're going to have to learn to how to be bold. You're going to have courage to face those things. For what reasons? Well, because as the marriage is failing and as they begin to come to you, here's what's going to take place in the life of that young preacher. He's going to have to give them advice. He's going to have to give them encouragement. And he's got to try to get them to a point to seek forgiveness one towards another. I'm going to camp here just a little bit. You know why a lot of marriages never get past the point of despair that you're in and try to move beyond to a place where they can be in fellowship once again? It's for this reason. They don't want to forgive. Why don't they want to forgive? Because here's what happens when a lot of us, and I'm including myself, when we get into an argument, here's what we do. You might as well just go to the garage, grab a shovel, and give it to your spouse. You both have shovels, because here's what's going to take place with those shovels. You're going to dig up the past. And that's where a lot of marriages will have a lot of problems, because they don't want to seek forgiveness because they keep digging up the past. Can I ask you a question this morning? If God forgave you of your sins and he put them behind his back, and they're as far as the east is from the west, and he doesn't bring them back in our face once again, why do we do that with our spouses? Think about that. You and I can probably have a better relationship with our spouse if we're just willing to forgive. By the way, that doesn't just happen in a marriage. We as adults need to be learning how to forgive each other and stop digging up the past on one another. Man, we can go round and round with these things. Well, you did this. Well, you did that. I remember when you said this, and I remember when you said that. But I asked for forgiveness. I don't care. I remember those things. How about we just move on? And let's seek to have a better relationship. But being a preacher and being brought into that marriage part and to give counsel is intimidating. It is scary, and you're wanting to give the right advice, you're wanting to give the right counsel, and you want to move them into the right direction. So there's one area that a young minister will need to have boldness, where his timidness will have to go by the wayside, hopefully. Imagine as a young pastor trying to resolve issues in a church when someone is trying to sow discord and purposely dissolve the flock. Think about that. Problems arise in the church. Matter of fact, you know what the common denominator is? People. People. Well, this church isn't perfect. Okay, well, show me a perfect church. When you have people, you're always going to have problems. And sometimes there's people in a church that want to go around and they want to run their mouth and they want to talk about so-and-so. They want to begin to gossip about this person, that person. They want to throw the piano player under the bus. They want to throw the Sunday school player under the bus. They want to throw the pastor's wife underneath the bus. And they want to do these things. And all they're doing is sowing discord. And a pastor has to take charge in those situations because there is a flock that God has called him to take care of, and he has to quickly resolve those issues. Why? Because there needs to be unity in the church, and any type of disunity is not godly. And so he's going to have to put his big boy pants on, and he's going to have to face those issues and resolve those things. Why? Because you want a church that's in unity. I've spent the last 7-8 months talking about the importance of unity. By the way, I can probably go another 7-8 months, to be honest with you. There are some other areas where boldness will be required, such as dealing with the death of a loved one. I'm going to be honest with you folks this morning. It's scary to walk into a situation, especially a family that you don't know, that they've reached out to you, and you got to do the funeral. And you don't know the individual, you don't know nothing about them, but you got to get up there and you got to give the message. And that message is going to require you to give the gospel to the people that are there. And I'm going to tell you this, because I've experienced this a few times. It's not easy getting up there to give a message knowing that the person that is in the casket never reached out to Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. It's difficult to be encouraging during those times. But still, you have to be bold and you have to have the courage to get up there to give the gospel. This week, I was given a privilege to be able to go to a lady's house who is on hospice, who is stage 4 cancer, to be able to give her the gospel. I was intimidated. Lisa, I was scared. She sent me their way. And she put me in a position of being scared. No, but I thank you very much. But I was in that particular room this past Wednesday night, and I was able to go in the house, and before I got there, here's what I said: God, please give me courage. Please give me boldness, because people's lives depend upon it. And I got in his house and began to chat with this lovely lady and began to give the gospel. The TV was on, fans were going, and I began to give the gospel. And I said, hey, can I stop real quick? Because there's about 6 other people in a room. And I've never done this before. I said, can we shut this off? Because I'm talking to all of you. And I was able to give the gospel to this family who listened so intently. Praise God, 2 were saved that night. They wanted me to go to their pool and baptize them right then and there. I kid you not. I didn't do it, but they really encouraged me. But when you're dealing with the death of a loved one, you have to have courage, you have to have boldness. Because you got to say the right thing, you got to act the right way, do the right thing. And it's very difficult at times. Why do you have to be bold? Because you got to try to bring comfort to a situation that seems hopeless. You know who's got... I'm going to cue you right here. I wish I had your gift. Mary's like, no, you don't. Q can go into a hospital room when somebody's only got hours left and make them laugh. I don't have that gift, but you have that gift. I've seen it done many, many times as you walked in the pastor's room and stuff you said, the room just lit up. I wish I can have that type of courage, that type of attitude to be able to do those things. But not just the death of a loved one, but I want you to think about this. Perhaps burying a young child. There's a vision that I have in my mind years ago of my 7th and 8th grade teacher that I had here at the church. His name was Mike McDonald. And I remember they lost their young child, just a baby. And I'll never forget going to that funeral, seeing a casket about this big on a stand. And I'll never forget watching our pastor at the time trying to bring comfort to a family that lost such a precious baby. That takes courage. That takes boldness. The life of a pastor is not always glamorous. There is extreme sorrow. There is extreme sadness. And there is extreme heartache. I've watched our pastor over the years, these last 48 years. I didn't see all 48 years. I'm only 47, so you can figure that out. But I watched him over so many years, seeing that sorrow on his face, seeing that heartache of sadness, things that he would go through, hurting for you people. See, it's not always glamorous. All of these wear heavy upon the pastor, no matter what the age is. Why is that? Because as his grandmother and as his mother and as Paul invested their time into him, here's what Timothy was doing to this church. He was investing his time into them. He was wanting to have an impact on their life. And so, with boldness and with courage, there also comes great heartache, great sorrow in the ministry. Why is that? Because you'll never understand the love a pastor has for his people. You'll never understand it. Well, I really don't understand it because I've heard on so many different occasions where a pastor would get up and just begin to preach hellfire and brimstone and begin to preach on my sins and act as if he doesn't care. No, let me show you why that is done. It is done because of a great love that God has placed upon the heart of the pastor for the flock that God has called him to. Don't sit there and think for one second that the pastor is going to get up here and just begin to accuse of everything because of hatred. That's not the case. It's not the case at all. It's because there is love. I'm going to continue to move on here. It will take great courage to get up every day to face it all over again. And these are just a few of the areas that we probably don't think about where a pastor will need boldness or courage. Why do they do this? They do this not just because of the love for the people, as I just mentioned, but they do this because of a love for an almighty God. Not only are they striving to be of service to you, to be a servant to you, to work for you, to please you, but their ultimate goal is to be pleasing to the Heavenly Father. So the first calling is to serve God, love Him with all their heart. The second calling is to His wife and to His children. The third calling is to the church. Why do I say that in that order? Because God called me to my wife first. And if I neglect her, then the church is going to be neglected as well. She's my responsibility first. I hope you understand that. God first, my wife second, then the church. That was all free. That wasn't even in my notes. Timothy needed boldness because he was a pastor that people depended on. Not only did he have to preach to them, guide them along the way, but he had to serve them as well. Preaching is about 5% of what the pastor does for his people. Just about 5%. Some maybe a little bit more, but about 5% is the preaching of it. There's so much more that goes into it. And as you begin to go further into it, guess what? There's going to have to be more courage, and there's going to have to be more boldness upon the pastor that God has called to the church. Timothy needed boldness to continue to preach the gospel that he was called to preach. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1, it says, I charge you therefore before God and Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. After reading those two verses, do you realize, I hope you see the importance of why a pastor will have to have boldness and courage. There will be times in the life of a pastor who have to preach on subjects that will cut right to the heart. And as it cuts right to the heart, as I described a couple weeks ago, guess what we do? We become critical of the pastor. We sit there in our pew and we sit there and say, well, that stupid jerk, he knows exactly what I'm going through and he's here just naming all my sins and what type of a man does he think he is? Well, I'll tell you what type of a man he thinks he is. He doesn't want you to continue to go that path. And so he's got to be bold and address those issues. It cuts right to the heart. It's like being a surgeon and doing open heart surgery every time that he steps into the pulpit. It takes courage. It takes boldness. A pastor cannot shy away from those things. He cannot be timid about those things. And because of that, as I said a few weeks ago, he becomes the most criticized person in the church. He's going to preach on subjects that will not always be popular, but it will be done, hopefully out of love, that the pastor has for the people that God has called him to lead. Today, there are people in the congregation that are just wanting their ears to be tickled. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want the pastor to be preaching on sin. They don't want the pastor to be preaching on what they're doing wrong. And they just want to come to church where a pastor says, hey, it's good to see you. God bless you. God love you. Today, you can have your best life. What a bunch of hogwash. But a pastor does all these things that I described earlier because of a love that he has. And it takes boldness. In the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, at least 25 times, Paul encourages Timothy to be bold. Or we can say to be strong, or we can say to stand his ground when necessary. In the book of Joshua, you see after the death of Moses that the Lord appears on the stage and he gives words of encouragement to Joshua for what? He says this, to be strong and of good courage and to stand. The life of a leader is very difficult and can be very intimidating, and boldness will be required. As I use the word boldness, please do not get this confused with the preacher to use his pulpit to bully his people. And I have seen some videos of preachers who get right up there and begin to accuse, and they'll call him out by name, of things that he knows about that they're doing wrong in their life. What has taken place, he's used that pulpit now as a bully pulpit. And people begin to leave the church. This pulpit is not to use to bully people around. It's used to preach the word of God. It's to reprove, to rebuke. And it's also used to be an encouragement and edify one another as well. As Paul said in verse number 6, it says, stir up the gift of God. What Paul was saying here, be bold, get going for it. Do not sit around wasting the gift that God has given you. Unfortunately, many of us today do not use the gift that God has given us because we're afraid to be bold, and thus our gifts go to waste. You know, not only is it important to be bold in giving the gospel of the gift that God has given a pastor, but I'm going to say this, God has distributed gifts upon every single one of us here, and it takes boldness to use those gifts. Julie played a special here a couple weeks ago. It takes boldness on her part to do that because I know what she struggles with. It's very difficult for her to get up here. You know, Mrs. Nelson, she struggles a lot with her health, and she's got a tremendous gift of encouraging. And it takes boldness for her to be here. It takes courage because she can probably say, you know what, I'd be more comfortable being home today. But I thank God that she's exercising that gift. Amen? It also says in verse number 7, but a power. When we do his work, proclaim his word. Why? Because we represent his kingdom. We all have the power supporting us. We are in his hand. This power that is being talked about here is not power for us to control people, because that's what people want to do. They want some people will get into a position and they will try to begin to control others. My wife will testify to this, and she made me very aware of this at an early stage in our marriage. Chad, you try to control people. Not only do you try to control people, you try to control the situation. Have I gotten better? The smile says it all, folks. Where am I at now? I can't even see with my eyes right now because I'm squinting because of laughter. It's not for us to control people, but so many pastors try to control their people in forms of telling them what to wear and how to act, forgetting about the grace of God. By the way, I'm going to say this. Since I just said this, I don't care what you wear. Because that's the outside stuff. That's the outward appearance. Dallas, you know what I'm concerned about this morning? The heart. The heart. Brother Michael Curran said it very well. You can dress the part, have the jacket on, pants, the shoes. You can look all great, but you can be ugly inside. And that ugliness inside begins to spill forth, and you begin to treat people that way as well. I'm not concerned about how you dress. I'm concerned about the heart. You mean, Chad, you don't mind if I come to the church in shorts and flip-flops and a tank top? If you're on a beach, I would not mind. I believe we need to give God our best. What is this power referring to? It's given us the ability to love people that are not lovable. It's given us the ability to serve people that need to be served. And it truly is a great picture of how Christ was and how he is still demonstrating this for the church. In verse number 8, he tells Timothy not to be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. We should always be grateful for what our Savior has done for us and will continue to do for us. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." We need not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm going to stop here because I'm not going to have time to get into this. But I will say this. I grew up in a preacher's home. You know, there were times in my life where I was ashamed of my upbringing. I was ashamed that my father was a preacher because I felt like people would make fun of me. And all I wanted to do was fit in. And what a shame to sit here and confess this to you today, that I felt that way. Where instead I should have been proud of the fact that I had a dad who obeyed the calling of God to serve in a ministry so that souls can be changed from hell to heaven. But instead, I was ashamed of those things. "Hey, what's your dad do for a living?" As I started working at Highview and as a young person, "Oh, you don't want to know." I was that way. My sisters are here this morning. Christy had to step out to go pick somebody up. But Andrew, I don't know if you felt that way. Sometimes. I know Jeff. Jeff and I, we talked about it. He felt that way. But as I stand before you today, you folks are here today because of a man who loved you. And I'm so very proud of that. And I'm going to stop right there before I get going any further. But do not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'll finish this part next week and we'll dive into some more areas, and looking forward to that. So that being said, let's have a word of prayer. I'm trying to get you guys out a little bit earlier so you can have some time to get a water and use the restroom that you need. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. I thank you, Lord, for your people. I thank you, Lord, for the love that you're giving me for them. God, I pray that you would begin to work in our hearts for this next hour to come. Don't let us forget what we just went through and how we need to apply being bold in our lives and to have the courage that we need to have to stand up for you. Lord, as I just mentioned to these folks, the reason why I was ashamed is because I did not have the boldness or the courage to speak out and say how proud I was to be a pastor's son. So, Lord, if I can be an encouragement to somebody along the way, I'm thankful that I can use this as an example. Bless us as we go into this next hour. We ask it in your name. Amen.